السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we start the second part of Juz 5, inshallah. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I ask for Allah's protection from Shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. Verse 78, Surah An-Nisa. Wheresoever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. And if some good reaches them, they say this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls them, they say this is from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, all things are from Allah. So what is wrong with these people that they fail to understand any word? Whatever of good reaches you is from Allah. And whatever of evil befalls you is from yourself. And if we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a messenger to mankind, and Allah is sufficient as a witness. He who obeys the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed obeyed Allah, and he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a watcher over them. Two hadith that I'd like to share with you, inshallah, from Sahih al-Bukhari. Volume 9, hadith number 251, for the first one. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever obeys me, he obeys Allah. And whoever disobeys me, he disobeys Allah. And whoever obeys the ruler I appoint, he obeys me. And whoever disobeys him, he disobeys me. Again, emphasizing the importance of doing as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So vital. So when we say things like, what's wrong with it? Where does it say we can't do this? Remember this hadith. Remember the ayah that he who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed obeyed Allah. And remember this hadith to follow it. The second hadith on the same ayah is narrated Abu Huraira from the same companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all my followers will enter paradise, except those who refuse. They said, O Allah's Messenger, who will refuse? He, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me is the one who refuses to enter it. Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 9, hadith number 384. Does this make it important to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Does it make it important to know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And now we understand how important it is to study the Quran, the sunnah, and the seerah all together. Subhanallah. They say, we are obedient. But when they leave you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they leave you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a section of them spend all night in planning other than what you say. But Allah records their nightly plots. So turn aside from them, do not punish them, and put your trust in Allah, and Allah is ever all sufficient as a disposer of affairs. Do they not then consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein many a contradiction. When there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they make it known among the people. If only they had feared it to the messenger or to those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, you would have followed Shaitan, save a few of you. So again, Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing, for this grace and mercy. We're only sitting here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to come and be of those who are guided. Alhamdulillah. Verse 84 to 87, if you take this first step, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And the other point on these ayahs would be that never return good with bad. Be a muhsin. Let's look at the verses. Then fight, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the cause of Allah. You are not tasked, held responsible, except for yourself. Now, this is a wonderful feeling, isn't it? That we are not questioned on what anyone else does, subhanAllah. We are each man for himself. You're not going to be asked, held responsible, you're not going to be tasked, except for yourself. And incite the believers to fight along with you. It may be that Allah will restrain the evil might of the disbelievers and Allah is stronger in might and stronger in punishing. Whosoever intercedes for a good cause will have the reward of it. And whosoever intercedes for an evil cause will have a share in its burden. So here, being told that if you do good, you'll be rewarded. And if you do anything evil, you will be burdened with it. And Allah is ever all able to do, and also an all witness to everything. When you are greeted with a greeting, greet in return with what is better than it. What greeting is verse 86 referring to?
Salam.
Excellent. Salam. So when somebody says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, how do you return it? Excellent. When you are greeted with a greeting, greet it in return with what is better than it, or at least return it equally. Certainly Allah is ever a careful account taker of all things. Allah la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but He. Surely He will gather you together on the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt, and who is truer in statement than Allah. Then what is the matter with you that you are divided into two parties about the hypocrites? Allah has cast them back to disbelief because of what they have earned. Do you want to guide him who Allah has made to go astray? Do you? And he whom Allah has made to go astray, you will never find for him any way of guidance. They wish that you reject faith as they have rejected faith, and thus that you will become equal like one another. So take not only our protectors or friends from them till they emigrate in the way of Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they turn back from Islam, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them, and take neither protectors, awliya, protectors or friends nor helpers from them. Except those who join a group between you and whom there is a treaty of peace. Or those who approach you with their breasts, restraining from fighting you as well as fighting their own people. Had Allah willed, indeed, He would have given them power over you, and they would have fought you. So if they withdraw from you and fight not against you and offer you peace, then Allah has opened no way for you against them. You will find others that wish to have security from you and security from their people. Every time they are sent back to temptation, they yield thereto. If they withdraw not from you, nor offer you peace, nor restrain their hands, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them. In their case, we have provided you with a clear warrant against them. It is not for a believer to kill. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving provision here, providing us with defense, where we can defend ourselves. We can fight to save ourselves. It is not for a believer to kill a believer, except that it be by mistake. And whosoever kills a believer by mistake, it is ordained that he must set free a believing slave and a compensation. what's compensation? Blood money. Okay? Be given to the deceased family unless they remit it. If the deceased belonged to a people at war with you and he was a believer, the freeing of a believing slave is prescribed. And if he belonged to a people with whom you have a treaty of mutual alliance, compensation blood money must be paid to his family, and a believing slave must be freed. And whoso finds this, the penance of freeing a slave beyond his means, he must fast for 2 consecutive months in order to seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. And whoever kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell. His recompense is hell to abide in it, and the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a great punishment is prepared for him. Allahumma jinni minan nar. Sisters, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the curse and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what were we told before? That if the wrath of Allah or the curse of Allah is upon them, then there is no help for them in any way or form. O you who believe, when you go to fight in the cause of Allah, verify the truth and say not to anyone who greets you by embracing Islam, you are not a believer. Seeking the perishable goods of the worldly life. So when somebody greets us with salam, we have no right to say, nah, he's not a believer. We can't say that. Only Allah knows what is in their hearts. There are much more profits. Sorry, you're not a believer seeking the perishable goods of the worldly life. There are much more profits and booties with Allah, even as he is now. So were you yourself before, till Allah conferred on you his favours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, this person could be like what you were before. Only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and favor you are sitting here and you're being guided by the Quran. Do you follow? Conferred on you his favors, i.e., what is the favor? Look at it in brackets, what does it say? Guided you to Islam. Exactly. Therefore be cautious in discrimination. Allah is ever all aware of what you do. Relation to these verses, narrated Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A faithful believer remains at liberty regarding his religion unless he kills somebody unlawfully. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 9. Hadith number 2. Not equal, verse 95. Not equal are those of the believers who sit at home, except those who are disabled by injury or blind or lame. Remember those who sat at home of the believers in the battles? When we did it in depth, we saw that. You can give me, for homework, you can find the examples of those who are blind or lame or stayed behind for some reason. So not equal are those of the believers who sit at home except. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want any hardship. So exemption is there. Except those who are disabled by injury or are blind or lame. And those who strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred in grades those who strive hard and fight with their wealth. Sorry. And fight with their wealth and their lives above those who sit at home. And to each, Allah has promised good paradise, but Allah has preferred those who strive hard and fight above those who sit at home by a huge reward. How many times does it say sit at home in this one verse? How many times quickly you'll get a prize? Quickly? In just one verse, how many times has Allah said that? Three times. That's a bit slow. Come on, speed up. Sisters, sit at home. Students who've come in today, Students who've come in today, are you all the same as those who've decided to take the day off? No. Allah is saying they are not the same. Allah has promised good paradise, but Allah has preferred those who strive hard. So smile, shake hands with your neighbour and congratulate each other. And sisters at home and online listening, well done, mashallah. May Allah reward you both in the dunya and akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in our time, effort and energies, inshallah. Because Allah ta'ala says, those who have strived hard and fight above those who sit at home by a huge reward. Degrees of higher grades from Him and forgiveness and mercy. And Allah is ever of forgiving, most merciful. Subhanallah. Verily, as for those whom the angels take in death while they are wronging themselves, as they stayed among the disbelievers, even though emigration was obligatory for them, the angels say to them, in what condition were you? So the angels are now asking those who were taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they were doing something wrong. So what condition were you? They reply, we were weak and oppressed on the earth. The angels say, was it not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate in it? Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil destination. So that could be the case of somebody who says, no, well, I worked, I was living in Europe, in UK, not in a Muslim country, I found it hard. And when I worked, I couldn't do my salah, and, you know, blah, 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 etc., etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing that scenario here in verse 97. Look, could he not have done something about it? If there's anything important, if it means something to us, what do? You strive for it. You struggle, you do whatever it takes to achieve it, isn't it? Yes? For our children, our families, our loved ones, you'll cross all boundaries and get on with it. You'll do it. Why can you not cross the boundaries of emigration and do that if your salah was important? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look here, they will say we were weak and oppressed in the earth, so we couldn't practice our deen, in other words, yes? And the angels will say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate? The question arises, emigrate means leaving your land. How many times do I leave my sins? How many times do I leave things that I know displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Verse 98. Except the weak ones among men, women and children, who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their way. These are they whom Allah is likely to forgive them. And Allah is ever oft pardoning, oft forgiving. Here, we're looking at, instead of adapting to the environment, we should be changing the environment. The Prophet ﷺ seerah is beautiful. Look at it. In Mecca, he couldn't comfortably practice his deen. So what did he do? Carry on staying, living there? He migrated. He changed his environment. Why? Because his deed, his Islam, was important to him. He didn't fall into the trap that, no, others follow society. He didn't adapt, did he? Did he do any compromises with them? Oh, all right then, all right, sorry, if you don't want me to do that, I won't do it, yeah. No. No compromises. Hijrah is to move from somewhere you cannot practice your deen to somewhere where you can. So if anybody has difficulties in a particular job situation, leave that job. Do a job that's more applicable to you, that's more valuable to you for both the dunya and the akhirah. Is it truly worth it to lose your akhirah at the expense for a little pay in this dunya? Is it? No. So, we was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate therein. Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil destination. Except the weak ones among men, women and children who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their way. These are they whom Allah is likely to forgive them. And Allah is ever of pardoning, of forgiving. He who emigrates from his home in the cause of Allah will find on earth many dwelling places and plenty to live by. Subhanallah. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, if you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will, exactly, when, just on the day of judgment? No. Both on the dunya and in the akhirah, inshallah. And whosoever leaves his home as an emigrant unto Allah and his messenger, and death overtakes him, his reward is then surely incumbent upon Allah. And Allah is ever of forgiving, most merciful. So when you know these verses, do you panic? Do you have anxiety attacks? Do you fear what's going to happen? No, you know that your reward and your destiny is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the best of planners. He is the one who will take care of all your affairs. He is the best disposer of affairs. In light of Seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'd just like to highlight, I'm not sure if you all got this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emigrated from Makkah, where he's being tortured, to a different place. He's the same person, subhanallah. His deen was the same, his Islam was the same. He didn't change, did he? Did he dilute his religion? Did he dilute the laws? In fact, the laws became more stricter and more in number when he arrived in Medina. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give in. He didn't say, oh no, I can't talk to this lot. I've left Makkah, I've come to Medina, I've only got a few people with me, I can't tell them that I can't drink alcohol. He could have done, but he didn't, did he? All the laws that we saw in Surah Al-Baqarah were in Medina. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the same person, left his place. And what was the difference between Makkans and Medina folk? What was the difference? In Makkah he was being tortured, and in Medina he is being welcomed, exactly. Welcomed with open arms to find that the Ansar are helpers. The Ansar are all helping the Muhajirs, the emigrants. Subhanallah. And when you Muslims travel in the land, there is no sin on you if you shorten a salah, the prayer. And if you fear that the disbelievers may put you in trial, attack you, verily the disbelievers are ever unto you open enemies. If you find it hard to keep away from the ways of the disbelievers, maybe you should underline this part, that verily the disbelievers are ever unto you open enemies. إن الكافرين كانوا لكم عدوا مبينا. Verily, the disbelievers are ever unto you open enemies. When you, O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are among them and lead them in a salah, let one party of them stand up. So here we have in verse 102, Salat al-Khawf being described. Salat al-Khawf being described, which is what? You tell me. Prayer at the time of?
Battle.
Yeah. Khawf means what's Khawf? Fear. So battle at the time of fear. So what is this ayah going to signify to us? What is this ayah signifying? You should pray even at the time of battle. So come what may, can you give up salah? No. No way can you give up salah. Because there's an exam, or you're a workaholic, or you just finish off making the pakoras at iftari time. Can you give up your maghrib? No, sisters. This Ramadan, let's encourage all of us, one another, our families, to do Jama'ah, to do Salah in Jama'ah, to do Salah together, to do Salah on time, and to do as many Salah as possible in the Masajid. Even at the time of battle, even at the time when there's threat from a threat of attack from the enemy, Salah has not been exempted. Let's look at this verse 102, Surah An-Nisa. When you, O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are among them, and lead them in the Salah, the prayer, let one party of them stand up in Salah with you taking their arms with them. When they finish their prostrations, let them take their positions in the rear, and let the other party come up, and which have not yet prayed, subhanAllah. And let them pray with you, taking all the precautions and bearing arms. Those who disbelieve wish, if you were negligent of your arms and your baggage, to attack you in a single rush. But there is no sin on you if you put away your arms because of the inconvenience of rain or because you are ill. But take every precaution for yourselves. Verily, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for the disbelievers. When you have finished the salah, the congregational prayer, remember Allah standing, sitting down and lying down on your sides. But when you are free from danger, perform a salah. Verily, a salah is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours. And don't be weak in the pursuit of the enemy if you are suffering hardships, then surely they too are suffering hardships as you are suffering. But you have a hope from Allah. See the difference? For a believer, there is hope from Allah. You're suffering hardships at time of war, but you've got two hopes. What are the two hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a believer? For a believer, there's hope of Allah even if they win or lose. Whether they win or they die. If they die, what is the reward? What is the reward? Why? Because they are a martyr. Exactly. And if they win, subhanAllah, they've got the war breach. They've got the worldly reward. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala saying, for you have a hope from Allah for the reward at paradise, for that for which they hope not. They're just looking at the dunya. And Allah is ever all knowing, all wise. Surely we have sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book, this Quran, in truth that you might judge between men by that which Allah has shown you, i.e. has taught you through divine revelation. So be not a pleader for the treacherous. Be not a pleader for the treacherous is again a reminder for all of us. If anyone's done anything wrong, don't be asking, pleading for that person. Allah is telling us clearly here. And seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek Allah's forgiveness by daytime and at night. At all times. He didn't think, I can chill, I can relax, I don't have to carry on asking forgiveness. Did he? Mm-hmm. No. Sisters, I just would like to recap something on verse 101, which I missed out, in reflection with the angle of Seerah. This ayah was revealed after the migration when Muslims used to experience fear during most of their travels. You know, we saw right at the beginning the bridge between the two Juz on how many battles there were in this time period. Expeditions, battles. And these ayahs were revealed to make it easier for the Sahaba to pray, to shorten the salah at the time of war. Continuing on from verse 107. And argue not on behalf of those who deceive themselves. Verily, Allah does not like anyone who is a betrayer or sinner. They may hide their crimes from men, but they cannot hide them from Allah, for He is with them by His knowledge when they plot by night in words that He does. When they plot by night in words that He does not approve. So what do they think, that it's a secret because they're doing it at night? Allah Ta'ala is telling us all again. Nothing's a secret and you can't hide anything from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah ever encompasses what they do. Lo, you are those who have argued for them in the life of this world, and who will argue for them on the day of resurrection against Allah, or who will then be their defender? And whoever does evil or wrongs himself, but afterwards seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will find Allah oft forgiving, most merciful. Most merciful. And whoever earns sin, he earns it only against himself, and Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. And whoever earns fault or a sin, and then throws it onto someone innocent, he has indeed burdened himself with falsehood and a manifest sin. Had not the grace of Allah and His mercy been upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a party of them would certainly have made a decision to mislead you. For in fact, they misled none except their own selves. And no harm can they do to you in the least. Allah has sent down to you the book, the Quran, al-Hikmah, the Islamic laws. And look at this again and again, we get this in the Quran, that not only, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop at the Quran? No. What's Allah ta'ala saying on then here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to you the book, the Quran, and the hikmah. Islamic laws, knowledge of legal and illegal things, the Prophet's sunnah, legal ways, and taught you that which you knew not. And ever great is the grace of Allah unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In terms of forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, how many times in terms of seerah did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask for forgiveness in a day? For homework, that's a quiz question for you. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm not going to spoon feed you this Ramadan. So, look it up, please. If I give you a reference, you can take it quickly if you can. Volume 8, hadith number 319, will give you the answer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in verse 113 that you take what He has given us. Allah sent down to you the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah. And taught you that what you didn't know. SubhanAllah. This, how should we take this? As a burden? What is Allah Ta'ala describing? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing this in the Quran? In verse 113. Take this as a grace, as a favor. SubhanAllah. There is no good in most of their secret talks, except in him who orders sadaqah, charity in Allah's cause, or ma'ruf, Islamic monotheism, and all the good and righteous deeds which Allah has ordained, or conciliation between mankind. And he who does this seeking the good pleasure of Allah, we shall give him a great reward. And whoever contradicts and opposes the messenger, subhanAllah. Do we see this? Allah Ta'ala is telling us the opposite as well. So any time we do anything against the will of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that could be singing naats, nasheeds on his birthday, celebrating his birthday, because did he celebrate his birthday? No. And whoever contradicts and opposes the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could be doing, setting up a innovation. What's another word for innovation?
Bidda.
doing any bidda, adding anything to our religion that's not there. That is contradicting and opposing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever contradicts and opposes the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the right path has been shown clearly to him and follows other than the believer's way, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. What an evil destination. So anyone who's doing anything against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this not a clear evidence for them that it's not right? It's wrong, isn't it? Verily Allah forgives not the sin of setting up partners in worship with Him, but He forgives whom He wills, sins other than that. And whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah has indeed strayed far away. They, all those who worship others than Allah, invoke nothing but female deities besides Him. Why does it say female here in verse 117? Why female? Because shirk done by the idolaters, they would worship Shaitan, they would set up their rivals, and they claim that the angels were the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Safrullah. Allah Ta'ala is reinforcing this again, that shirk will not be forgiven. And these females that are being referred to as those that they thought that the angels were the daughters of Allah, Safrullah. Verily Allah forgives not. Sorry. Verse 1:17. They, all those who worship others than Allah, invoke nothing but female deities besides him, Allah, and they invoke nothing but Shaitan, a persistent rebel. Allah cursed him, and he, Shaitan, said, I will take an appointed portion of your slaves. So next time you want to slip and do anything out of line, just remember that you are helping Shaitan to fulfill his promise. Verily, I will mislead them. Look at this, how Shaitan posed it. How he's going to mislead mankind. Verily, I will mislead them, and surely I will arouse in them false desires, and certainly I will order them to slit the ears of cattle, and indeed I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. What is this change created by Allah? Would anybody like to elaborate on that? That you think, I'll continue with the verse and then show the hadith, inshallah. And indeed, I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. And whoever takes Shaitan as a wali, a protector or helper, instead of Allah, has surely suffered a manifest loss. Massive loss. So what's this changing? What is this changing? The nature created by Allah. We have hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 6, hadith number 409. Narrated Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has cursed the lady who uses false hair. Anything false, anything you do against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He has created us, that is changing the nature. Follow? Verse, and that hadith is shared both in verse 119 here, as we see, and for verse 7, Surah 59. Verse 120, we continue. He, Shaitan, makes promises to them and arouses in them false desires, and Shaitan's promises are nothing but deceptions. Can you highlight the end of this verse, please? Shaitan's promises are nothing but deceptions. But how many times do we fall into the trap? The dwelling of such is hell, and they will find no way of escape from it. But if you fell into the trap of deception, then Allah Ta'ala says, well then, the dwelling is of such people is hell, and they'll find no way of escape from it. But those who believe in the oneness of Allah, Islamic monotheism, and do deeds of righteousness. So do you see the link again? Not just believe, but do deeds of good righteousness. And when we say righteousness, I'd like to just define here again, what is righteousness? Is it just doing a good deed? Sisters, is it just doing a good deed, righteousness? What is righteousness? If you were to give me an equation of righteousness, what is it? What does righteousness mean? What is? Yeah, but what's the next part for that equation? Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. So you get a prize for that. Sisters, righteous deeds are not just good deeds, but good deeds done in line with the Quran and the Sunnah, the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us. So again and again, it's reiterating, it's reinforcing the fact that we need to obey the Prophet ﷺ. We need to follow his Sunnah. We need to do what he taught us, emulate the Sunnah. So do deeds of righteousness. We shall admit them to gardens under which rivers flow. In paradise to dwell in there forever. Allah's promise is the truth, and whose words can be truer? Whose words can be truer than those of Allah? Of course, none, nobody's. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just putting in a rhetorical question for us to, why, for us to think, exactly, to wake us up, come on. Whose words can be truer than those of Allah? It will not be in accordance with your desires, Muslims, nor those of the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians. Whosoever works evil will have the recompense of it, and he will not find any protector or helper besides Allah. And whoever does righteous good deeds, male or female, again, no discrimination in Islam for doing good deeds. No discrimination, whether you're a man or a woman, of what you do. And whoever does righteous good deeds, male or female, is a true believer in the oneness of Allah, such will enter paradise. And not the least injustice, even to the size of a speck on the back of a date stone, will be done to them. Why do you think we're having this parable here? Why do you think we're getting this example again and again of a date stone? Evergreen. It's an evergreen example. There were dates in Saudi Peninsula at that time. There are dates there today, and there's dates nationwide. It's not an example of a, give me something that's only known today. A pizza. Not everybody knew about a pizza, do they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using an example that's evergreen for everybody. All over the world, subhanAllah. Look, even, and to get a minute example, Allah Ta'ala is not ignoring it. Even to the size of a speck on the back of a date stone, there will be no injustice. And who can be better in religion than one who submits his faith himself to Allah? And he is a muhsin, a good doer, and follows the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hanifa. Islamic monotheism, to worship none but Allah alone. And Allah did not, sorry, and Allah did take Ibrahim alayhi salam as a, everybody, as a Khalil, an intimate friend. And to Ibrahim belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is ever encompassing all things. Subhanallah. They ask your legal instruction concerning women. Say, Allah instructs you about them and about what is recited unto you in the book concerning the orphan girls whom you give not the prescribed portions as regards mahar and inheritance. And yet, whom you desire to marry, and concerning the children who are weak and oppressed, that you stand firm for justice to orphans, and whatever good you do, Allah is all, whatever good you do, Allah is ever all aware of it. And if a woman fears cruelty or desertion on her husband's part, there is no sin on them both if they make terms of peace between themselves. And making peace is better. Subhanallah. Making peace is better. And human inner selves are swayed by greed. If you do good and keep away from evil, verily Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. Verse 128. Abu Dawud recorded that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Sauda, who was Sauda, radiallahu anha? The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, feared that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam might divorce her. And she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not divorce me. Give my day to Lady Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. Hence verse 128 was revealed. For mutual agreement is allowed. Do you see? If you both agree, then it's acceptable. Verse 129. And you will never be able to do perfect justice between wives. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala knows this and is telling us. You will not be able to do perfect justice between wives, even if it is your ardent desire. So do not incline too much to one of them by giving her more of your time and provision. Do not incline towards one of them. Do not incline too much to one of them, so as to leave the other hanging, neither divorced nor married. Is that clear? And if you do justice and do all that is right and fear Allah by keeping away from all that is wrong, then Allah is ever of forgiving, most merciful. Make homes, not break homes. We know from hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that a man who has two wives but dealt with them unfairly will come on the day of judgment with what? Half a body. Exactly. But if they separate by divorce, Allah will provide abundance for every one of them from His bounty. And Allah is ever all-sufficient for His creatures' need, all-wise. And to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And verily we have recommended to the people of the scripture before you, and to you, O Muslims, that you all fear Allah and keep your duty to Him. But if you disbelieve, then unto Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is ever rich, free of all wants, worthy of all praise. Subhanallah. And to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is ever all sufficient as disposer of affairs. Subhanallah. This has been my favorite part of the ayah. Well, all this verse 132 has been extremely magnificent to me over the last 10 days or so. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is all sufficient and He is the best disposer of affairs. Then you think you're in control, you think you can do things, but no, truly He's the one who takes care of it all. Subhanallah. But what do you have to do to get this feedback? What do you have to do to get this? You have to turn to Him and rely on Him completely. If He wills, He can take you away, O people, and bring others, and Allah is ever all potent over that. Verse 134, whoever desires a reward in this life of the world, then with Allah alone and none else is the reward of this worldly life and of the hereafter. And Allah is ever all hearer, all seer. O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice. as witnesses to Allah, even though it be against yourselves or your parents or your kin, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both than you. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what? In the first part of verse 135, how would you describe that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be fair, exactly. Oh, you who believe, stand out firmly for justice. Be fair. And even if it means it's against your parents or your kin, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both than you. So follow not the lust of your hearts, lest you avoid justice. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, what does that mean? You distort your witness or refuse to give it. That's giving what? In court? What do you? Giving what? Evidence, okay? If you distort your witness or refuse to give it, verily Allah is ever well acquainted. Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. O you who believe, believe in Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the book, the Quran, which He has sent down to His Messenger, and the scripture, which He sent down to those before Him. And whosoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, then indeed He has strayed far away. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we approach the end of this juz, it's finalizing, it's summarizing what you as believers should be doing, believing in these things. So come on, take heed. Why did we never open the Quran before? Because we were too busy, we had no time. Now that we've opened it up, don't pack it in. Keep coming, keep listening, keep obeying Allah's orders. And we do dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this journey smooth and easy for all of us, both online and for sisters on site. As we approach the end of this juz, verse 137, verily those who believe, then disbelieve, then believe again and again disbelieve, and go on increasing in disbelief. You know, switching on and switching off, switching off and switching on. Does it work? You're trying to bake a cake and you switch the oven off, and then you switched it on and then you switched it off, then you switch it on. Will it bake? Why do we then think that we as Muslims, we can go to paradise and be doing what we feel like? Believe 1 minute, but when it suits us, but then as soon as it comes to something difficult, interest, abiding by Allah's laws, we say, nah, not today. We believe on a Friday, we believe in Ramadan, but then we go back to where we came from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, not the way. Verily those who believe, then disbelieve, then believe again and again, disbelieve and go on increasing in disbelief, Allah will not forgive them, nor guide them on the right way. Give to the hypocrites the tidings that there is for them a painful torment. So we had the mention of the hypocrites earlier on, and again now, as the surah is, as the juz is ending, give to the hypocrites the tidings that there is for them a painful torment. Those who take disbelievers for awliya, protectors or helpers or friends instead of believers, do they seek honour, power and glory with them? Verily then to Allah belongs all honour, power and glory. And it has already been revealed to you in the book, this Quran, that when you hear the verses of Allah being denied and mocked at, what should you do? When somebody's taking the mock out of Islam or the verses of the Quran, or being denied or denying them, then Allah Ta'ala is telling us here in verse 140, then sit not with them until they engage in a talk other than that. For if you stayed with them, certainly in that case you would be like them. Surely Allah will collect the hypocrites and disbelievers all together in hell. Those hypocrites who wait and watch about you, if you gain a victory from Allah, they say, were we not with you? But if the disbelievers gain a success, they say to them, did we not gain mastery over you? And did we not protect you from, the believers? Allah will judge between you all on the day of resurrection. And never will Allah grant to the disbelievers a way to triumph over the believers. Final few verses of this Juz, inshallah. Verily, the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, but it is He who deceives them. And when they stand up for Salah, they stand with laziness and to be seen of men, and they do not remember Allah but little. Hadith for verse 142. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 1, hadith number 33. Narrated Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has the following four characteristics will be a pure hypocrite. Whoever has the following four characteristics will be a pure hypocrite. And whoever has one of the following four characteristics will have one characteristic of hypocrisy, unless and until he or she gives it up. Whenever he is entrusted, he betrays, proves dishonest. Whenever he speaks, he tells a lie. Whenever he makes a covenant, he proves treacherous. Whenever he quarrels, he behaves in a very rude, imprudent, evil and insulting manner. Another hadith on the same verse, narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ said, the worst people before Allah on the day of resurrection will be the double-faced people who appear to some people with one face, who appear to some people with one face and to other people with another face. Again, Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 8, hadith number 84. Verse 143. They are swaying between this and that belonging, this is the hypocrites. They are swaying between this and that belonging neither to these nor to those. And he whom Allah sends astray, you will not find for him a way to the truth, i.e. Islam. Verse 144, O you who believe, take not for awliya, protectors or helpers, or friends, disbelievers, instead of believers. Do you wish to offer Allah a manifest proof against yourselves? Verily, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth of the fire. No helper will you find for them. Will be in the lowest depth of the fire, and no helper will you find for them. We will stop there, inshallah, at the end. In fact, I'll just go into 146 as well, to give us the except, as it carries on from here, except those who repent from hypocrisy. So if the heart starts to sink, then we have that exception. Verse 146, except those who repent from hypocrisy, do righteous good deeds, hold fast to Allah, and purify their religion for Allah. Then they will be with the believers, and Allah will grant the believers a great reward. So as we close, just 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the characteristics of hypocrisy and what will be their final destination. Not just in the fire, not just in hell, but in the lowest pit, in the lowest part of hell. Allahumma ajinni minan nar. Allahumma ajinni minan nar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from all evils in society today. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, for sisters online and for here as well, we have reached the end of just 5. Congratulate you all, and we will continue from there tomorrow, inshallah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.